The book of Genesis, chapter 4. Okay, now Adam and Eve have eaten themselves out of house and home. They're no longer living in the garden. Eve was deceived by a snake, by that old serpent, the devil. Adam sinned, Eve sinned, they hid themselves, God came looking for them. We continue to see God comes looking for sinners. Sinners don't go looking for God. Notice? Sinners hide from God because they know there is no excuse. They know they're naked. They know that their unrighteousness shows. They're ashamed. And so they don't want to go to church. They don't want to be possibly where God is. Look at us as Christians. When we get ourselves into a little jam or when things start falling apart, notice how quickly we back out of fellowship with one another. Why? We're embarrassed. We don't want people to ask questions because we're going to have to humble ourselves and tell the truth. So we hide. And God says, where are you, Adam? Not, I can't find you. Adam, do you realize where you are now? Well, you remember the curse and all that was involved there. So we begin chapter 4 just like this. And Adam knew his wife Eve. That would be sexually speaking there. And she conceived and bare Cain. And she said this, I have gotten a man from the Lord. All right, here's a misunderstanding with Eve. Poor Eve, nothing personal against her, but she really fumbled with the word of God in chapter 3. Now she's thinking that the word of God in chapter 3 is being fulfilled, and it's not. Not in this particular case. Now, you see, even though we are told in chapter 5 that Adam and Eve had many, many, many children, we're given the record of only these two right here at this time for God's reasons, for God's purposes. Okay? Cain, the word means gotten or acquired. It looks like here's what he was thinking. You know, in chapter 3, verse 15, God says this, and I will put enmity between you, speaking to the serpent, and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Literally, it shall crush your head, and you'll bruise his heel. So Eve is thinking, God has given me a son. That one promised in chapter 3, verse 15. The one that's going to crush the devil's head. So she named him Cain. Gotten or acquired. She thought this is the fulfillment. Here's a man from the Lord. This must be the promise. She's kind of like me and you. When the Lord says, I'm coming, we go, where is he? Well, it's been 2,000 years. She thought, well, here's the promise. Here's the kid. He's going to crush that serpent's head. No. Instead of being a deliverer, Cain is going to turn out to be a murderer. Just the opposite of what she had hoped. Not the promise from the Lord at all. The one who will be the promise of Genesis 3:15 is the Messiah. Jesus himself. Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3. Well, look at verse 2. She again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. The word Abel means vapor or breath. Maybe he was just a light little thing. I don't know. She thought, well, here's Cain. He's, you know, gotten or acquired. God promised. Now we've gotten the promise. Here's the man. We've gotten this man. And he's going to crush the devil's head. Well, Cain's not going to do it, everybody. Some think that, or some teach that Abel and Cain were twins. Bible nowhere says that, doesn't insinuate it. I wouldn't even go there. I don't, that's speculation. It doesn't even look like it here. Well, in the process of time, verse 3, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, verse 4, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, the Lord, he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. There is no indication here that the offering itself was a problem. There is no indication of that. Some teach that the offering must be a blood offering, but that is not set up for a couple thousand years to come. But some still teach that. And so they say, because Abel's was a blood offering, because blood was shed, God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he rejected Cain's because there was no blood. But it's just not there. It's not said that way. It's just not there. The same Hebrew word, minha, is also used in the Levitical law for the bloodless thank offering. And if you go back and read through Leviticus, Levitical law, you'll see that the thank offering consisted of flour and oil, or sometimes flour that's been prepared with frankincense. So no blood would have been shed anyway. So Cain's offering of what he had grown was not the problem. But there was a problem because God had respect to Abel's and he didn't have respect to Cain's. Jude verse 11, there's only one chapter. Jude verse 11, this is what we read. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. So in other words, I think what we're seeing here, or what we ought to see here, is a heart problem. There is a heart problem here. And somebody has said it this way, well, even if it should have been a blood offering, Cain didn't bring it, he brought grain, therefore there's a heart issue. Notice, something's going on here. Cain is not doing this correctly. And what that means, he's probably offering the offering correctly. There's something going on in his heart. It may not be real. It may be a lack of faith. He may be doing it grudgingly. Maybe he's bringing it because his brother's doing it. Well, my brother's doing it. I better bring something too. We don't know. All we know is something about Cain is not acceptable. And it's a heart issue. And that's why Paul will tell us, and that's why throughout Scripture, especially the New Testament, you will hear this often. You make your own calling and election sure. Where is your heart? What's going on in your heart? Where is mine? What's going on in mine? We need to know what's going on, or at least open our hearts up before the Lord. What's really going on in there? Because we could be bringing our sacrifice of praise, like we did tonight in praise, and it's not acceptable to God in some cases. And if it's not, well, you're singing just like the person next to you, same words. What's the difference? Why would God have respect to one and not the other? Because he likes Abel better. No. Why? Because there's a heart issue. Something's going on here that you and I can't see. But Cain knows it, and the reaction shows it. Hey, that rhymes. Because the Bible says, at the end of verse 5, Cain was literally, absolutely furious. He was completely enraged. And the words mean he was out of control with anger. He brought this to the Lord, but his heart wasn't right in it. And the Lord had no respect for it, didn't accept it. And Cain was furious. Bible says his countenance fell. That means he was bummed and he was literally enraged to the point of being out of control with fury. Notice his lack of faith. What do you mean? Instead of seeking to remedy the situation. When God had no respect to that offering, instead of saying, well, why, Lord? Show me where I've gone wrong. Teach me what to do. How can I repair this? What should I do? Is there something that I've done? Search my heart and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the paths of righteousness. Lord, you see, you don't see that. Him humbling himself and seeking to find, to get this situation taken care of. You don't see that, do you? You see immediate fury and anger. Now look at this. The Lord said to Cain in verse 6, why are you so angry? And why is your countenance falling? Why are you down? If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and you shall rule, thou shalt rule over him. Once again, everybody, you see a pattern developing. We're only in chapter 4. Notice God comes looking for sinners. Sinners don't go looking to God. See that? God comes to Cain. Cain is furious. He's out of control with anger. And it's God who comes and says, yo, Cain, why are you so violent? Why are you so angry? Why are you so upset? This could be taken care of easily, Cain. You realize there's a problem. Let's talk about it. God says it in Isaiah chapter 1. Come, let us reason together. Let's talk about this. Cain, what's up? Adam was hiding, and God came looking for him. Cain is angry, and God comes looking for him. See, God is always, always full of grace. God is always full of mercy, always. Not wanting that any should perish, but that all come to a saving knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's how patient he is. He is so patient, the world is still continuing on today. He could have shut it down a long time ago and would have had every right. He did flood it once. And that was we'll talk about it, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that was, the entire earth was flooded, not just that little area where Noah and his family lived. Here's a good question. Why are you angry, Cain? Behind anger, oftentimes there's jealousy. Behind jealousy, always there's pride. Cain was jealous. God accepted his brother's sacrifice, and God didn't accept his own. He knew something was wrong all along. And instead of dealing with it, he's angry. He's angry at God, and he's angry at Abel. That goody two-shoes, oh, that guy makes me sick. Holier than thou. Oh, Abel, your mom always liked you best. Isn't that a very good question? Because I hear a lot. You probably do too if you talk with a lot of people. I hear this a lot. I am angry with God. Are you? And God would look at you and say, why are you so angry? Why are you angry? There's something to deal with here, Cain. Why don't you deal with it? Why are you so angry? And why is your countenance fallen? There's something to deal with here. He says, look, Cain, you know that there's a problem. And if there wasn't a problem, it would be completely acceptable. So obviously there's a problem. Why are you angry at me? Why are you angry at your brother? Why not deal with this? Why not humble yourself? Why not confess? Why not get over it? People say this, I'm so angry with God. What he's let happen to my children. What he's let happen in my life. What he's doing here and what is happening there. I'm angry with God. Romans chapter 9, verse 20. No, but, oh man, Who are you that replieth against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me like this? Paul says, that's foolish to be angry with God. First of all, it's a good waste of time. Because if something is wrong, who do you think can fix it? The one you're angry at, right? You can see here we've got a problem already. That's not the way to handle this. And so God comes to Cain and says, let's deal with it. Let's deal with it. You know, Cain, that something's up. You know it. Why are you angry? Simple trust. Simple faith in God is where we belong, you and me. This is what Job said, although he did not understand what was happening to him. In Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. I don't know what's going on, so I'm going to keep going in this direction. If he lets me die, I will still trust him. Read this in the Old Testament. He's my God and I will praise him. My Father's God and I will exalt him. Song of Moses. He says, you know, Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Meaning simply this. Take care of the problem. Let's take care of it now, Cain. That's what I'm here. He showed up. And this man, God says, let's take care of it. How many times has God done that for you? And you've just fought with him, ignored him, said, I don't want to talk about it, get out. I'm mad now. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Our anger makes us look stupid. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he wants these three burned because he's so mad, he heats the fire up 7 times hotter than usual. What good is that going to do? They'll burn quicker. If you're really mad at him and want him to suffer, cool it down. Throw them in there and they'll be going, ow, 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 for a long time. But because you're angry, you're not thinking. We played football in high school. We would lose. We get beat by the girls' volleyball team. They were tough, tough girls. The guys would come in the locker rooms and they'd take their helmets off and bang their heads against the lockers and punch them. Wouldn't you think you'd leave your helmet on for something like that? You ever watch a football game? Full-grown adults. I mean full-grown. These are fat. They used to be in shape back when football was, men were iron. Now they're just 300 and 400 pounders, you know, like, it's like blubber. Don't tell them I said that. They get in there, and I saw a fight break out between two college teams this past week. And the first thing these guys do is they get in each other's face, they pull their helmets off. Because they're mad now. Wouldn't you think you'd leave your helmet on? Isn't that what it's for? Protection? In case somebody swings at you, they'll hit your helmet and hurt their hand. Your anger makes a fool out of you. My anger, our anger, gets us arrested, doesn't it? You say things and do things that you're sorry you said and did, but you did them, and now the police have you downtown, and you're trying to explain the reason you set the whole house on fire. I just couldn't control myself. And instead of repenting, we send you to anger management. You need to learn to control it. No, no, no. You need to turn it over and let the Holy Spirit control it. You need to give this to the Lord. Cain, you need to humble yourself right now and discuss this with God. Confess your heart and get it right. God says, if you don't, sin is crouching just outside your door. Cain, I'm telling you, before you even leave this place, take care of it. If you don't, you're going to go out there and sin is crouching at your door, and it is going to pounce on you, waiting to pounce on you, to devour you like an animal devours its prey. Sin is going to pounce on you and literally wants to eat you alive, rule over you. Its desire is for you. But you've been warned. God says, don't let it happen. You rule over it instead. Humble yourself. Repent, Cain. Well, instead of listening to God, Cain walked out the door. Guess what leapt all over him and ate him alive? Sin did. Watch this. Look at verse 8. And Cain, who ignored God, by the way, talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and murdered him. He killed them. Why? Because your sacrifice, God liked it, and he didn't like mine. And look at the anger in this man's heart. He murders his own brother. Why? Because his own deeds were no good. His own heart is a mess, and that's why he murders his brother. And so Jesus comes along and says, all right, Christian, you want to follow me? Yes, sir. Well, then being angry with your brother for no cause is murder, committing murder in your heart. How many of us have gotten angry with a brother? That's murdering in our heart. Why? We're jealous. They got something we didn't get. Theirs was more acceptable than ours. In other words, there's a heart problem in us, and we don't want to deal with it. God says, deal with it. Cain says, I'm not going to deal with it. I'll kill my brother instead. Look at verse 9. And the Lord said to Cain, oh man. He came back to find Cain again and says, Cain, where is your brother Abel? Now, do you think God knows? Oh, I think so. Abel, where's Abel, your brother? And Cain answered, ooh, what a attitude. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Literally. I don't know where he is. Am I supposed to watch him? How many times have you said that to someone? Oh, is it my turn to watch her? God says, yeah, as a matter of fact, I want to know from you where your brother is. I don't know. Am I supposed to watch him? Yes. He's your brother. She's your sister, your family, your Christians now. Yeah, where are they? I don't know. No concern for his brother and no concern for God. Cain just plain doesn't care. Verse 10. God says this, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out unto me from the ground. His blood is crying something to God. Just like most murderers, just like most thieves and rapists and molesters and liars, and of course the list goes on and on, just like that, they all think they did it and no one knows. They all did it in the dark, tried to hide their face. When they come in to rob the little convenience shop, they cover their face or they put a mask over or they do somehow so that no one will know. And they all seem to think they got away with it. The rapist that they're looking for in Coeur d'Alene, who's broken into a few homes, thinks that he's gotten away with this because they haven't been able to pinpoint who it is yet. But God knows who it is. Innocent blood doesn't remain silent, guys. Cain killed his brother Abel. God says his blood cries out from the ground. People think that their deeds are hidden and that their deeds are not known. But you know, God knows all and God sees all. And God says he's going to pay back. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I'm telling you right now, those who murder, who rob, who rape, who plunder, who pillage, all these things will be set right by God himself. God said so. So if you're a rapist or a murderer or a liar or a thief or an adulterer, now I guess I've covered all of us now. This would be a great time to accept the Lord. What do I mean? Because you're going to see what's coming up is going to be just a little bit too heavy for Cain to bear. He refuses to repent. He refuses to confess. And so you're going to see how it's handled. And those who refuse to repent, those who say no and refuse to confess, I'm telling you what, judgment is coming. You know what? I know what Abel's blood cries out. The blood was crying out this. The blood was crying out for judgment and for vengeance, for repayment of what happened to him. His blood cried out to God, I have been killed. I'm innocent. God, get him. How do I know? Well, a couple reasons. Number one, that's what they say under the altar in the book of Revelation, those who had their heads cut off during the great tribulation period. When will you avenge our blood? And the Lord answers, soon. There are others who will join you, and then I will take revenge. Right? Well, we're basically told, given the idea in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What did Abel's blood speak of? Vengeance, judgment, repaying what's been done. What does Jesus, this says Jesus' blood speaks better things than that. What does Jesus' blood speak to you? Jesus' blood cries out to God, redemption, right? Jesus died and shed his blood for the sin of the world so that you and I could be completely forgiven and have eternal life by simple trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood cries out redemption. He shed his blood that you would not have to answer for your own sin. But all of us who reject Jesus, if we do that, we will answer for our own sin. And the innocent blood that has been shed and all these murders that are taking place daily throughout all the nations of the world, God will take care of each one. Again, we're learning some simple lessons, lessons that we know. Jesus' blood speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel's cries out for revenge. Jesus' blood cries out redemption. Come to Jesus now, while it's still called today, while you have a chance. Give your heart to the Lord if you never have. But it goes on. Look at verse 11. And now, because your brother's blood cries out unto me from the ground, you are cursed from the earth. This is more of a curse. I mean, the curse, the fall happened in chapter 3. Now here's more of a curse. You are cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. You'll work the ground, but it won't work for you. I might be a descendant of Cain because I try to grow things and they die. I water them and they drown. I mean, but he says, you'll work the ground and it won't yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be in the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can carry. My punishment is greater than I can bear. This is too heavy for me. The consequences of this curse would be that he would work the soil, but the soil would not produce. He'll wander from place to place. In other words, a life of ceaseless wandering. And he cried, my punishment's too severe. It's too much for me to handle. And you know what I say? Then why didn't he humble himself, even now, fall down and confess? Notice he hasn't confessed a thing. He has not admitted or confessed a thing. Notice, Christian, pay attention. Why didn't he fall down, confess, and repent and throw himself on the mercy of the Lord God Almighty? Lord, I am sorry. I did kill my brother. I confess to you. Have mercy on me. You don't hear anything like that. There is no true repentance here. You know, we have a lot of what we call in America jailhouse conversions. You know anybody that's gone to jail for either a week or 2 weeks or years or months? Everybody I know that's ever gone to jail always draws close to the Lord. How you doing in there? Oh man, I'm reading my Bible every... Well, no kidding. Till you get out. Then you go back to doing the very things you were doing. You're not getting it. It's got to be real. This is not... Cain is missing it here. Everybody, Cain is missing it. And Cain says, it's too much for me. Here it is, guys. You've heard it before. Judges teaches us this so clearly. We, you and I, all of us, any human, can choose to sin. Can choose to sin. But we don't ever get to choose the consequences. Cain chose. And God himself said, you don't want to do this, Cain. Calm down. Sin is crouching at the door. You just need to humble yourself. Cain wouldn't do it. He went out and murdered his brother. All right, that was a choice that he made. You can choose to sin, but you never get to choose what happens to you. Now, if you get some time after church, talk to people who have sinned. I have. Well, everybody has. Just talk to them and say, is there anything in your life that you carry now from before? Even though you're forgiven, are there consequences for your sin? And everybody's going to look at you and say, yep, I got mine. A friend of mine who did drugs so heavily back in the 60s and early 70s, he says now, he loves the Lord, he knows he's forgiven, but his mind does not function like it should. He can't think like he was able to think in the past. He said, I did this to myself. God is good. God still loves me. Could God heal that? Yeah, but this, he deals with this on a regular basis. Now look at this. We never get to pick the consequences. Maybe the consequences of what you're thinking about doing will cause you to be alone, all alone, the rest of your life. You sure you want to do that? Are you sure you want to be all alone the rest of your life, Christian? Maybe the consequences of what you're doing now or what you're about to do or what you've done, if you get caught, maybe the consequences are jail time. Even though God loves you and you're forgiven, what if you get busted and there's jail time? Are you willing to do that? You don't get to pick your own consequences. Are you sure you want to sin? Cain, think about this before you go out that door. Maybe it's just to have a mark put on you for life. Cain's going to be marked for life. I read an article where a child molester who is guilty and has been in prison is now out of prison, and he complains. And his complaint to the legal system is this, that he has to be recorded as a sex offender for the rest of his life. That his punishment is too great for him to bear. It's not fair. See, you knew the possibility of getting caught. And you see, you can choose to sin, but you can't choose what happens to you. Even those who plea bargain aren't really choosing what happens to them. Cain says, this is too much for me. Cain, you were warned. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is to devour you, to completely destroy you. Everyone in this room, everyone who's listening to this, all of us need to take this to heart. You see, sin wants to destroy you. Its desire is to devour you completely. And you are messing with it, some of you, playing with it in something that you shouldn't be into. And we all need to pray about that because you don't want it, because you can choose to sin, but you don't get to pick what happens because of it. And God says to us, be sure your sin will find you out. Notice how it has a way of becoming public somehow, some way. And you think that, you know, ask Michael Jackson. You think you're doing all this in the dark behind closed doors, but it has a way of coming out. Are you a Christian? I'll tell you what, if you are a Christian, truly born again, I will guarantee God brings all that out. You can ask some of the TV evangelists who are lying and cheating and stealing. It gets brought to the surface so that it can be dealt with, doesn't it? You think, I don't want mine brought to the surface. Then here's the thing to do. Confess it. Unload it, leave it with the Lord, confess it, humble yourself. and just say, Lord, take my life. That's what Cain should have done, and he didn't. Here's something that is amazing also as we go on. Verse 14. Cain says, you have driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from your face shall I be hid. Cain, why don't you just repent? And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me will kill me. Now I ask you a question, everybody. Why would anyone who finds Cain want to kill him? I think you know, don't you? Because he's related to everybody on the planet. Because he just killed everybody's brother or son. Get it? And he knows it. There's only family here. How do I know? Go back and read in chapter 3. Eve is the mother of all living. No one lived before Adam and Eve. So he says, people are going to kill me. Yeah. People love their brother and love their son. Yeah, you could be a little problem. Yeah, it could be. Well, he says, that's going to happen. And verse 15 is an amazing verse to me. The Lord said to him, therefore, whoever slays Cain or whoever murders Cain or kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. A little sign out in his front yard said, murderer lives here. Leave him alone. Set a mark on Cain. Oh, you guys, you got to read. God protected Cain. Cain is a murderer. The first murder in the Bible. And God protected him. What's that all about? I think it's about grace. It's about God's mercy. You kind of hope that as Cain grows up, even gets older and older, he will turn and cry out to the Lord God and ask forgiveness and confession and do the sacrifices or whatever the right way. You know what I'm saying? And I think you see God's grace and God's mercy. He lets people live and go on and on. And he let me live. And he let you live. And there came a day when Jesus Christ entered into your life and you were truly born again. He let you live to that day. He's full of grace. I've heard a lot of Bible studies on this mark of Cain. Probably you have too. And some of them are kind of funny. One of the rabbis teaches that God grew a huge single horn straight out of his forehead. He looked like a unicorn. One of the rabbis teaches that. I go, you got to be kidding. No, he says, no, that was the mark of Cain. I mean, you'd spot him in the mall. Whoa, that's Cain, man. Don't even get near him. I mean, and it's all speculation because the Bible doesn't say what this was. But man, I have heard, I mean, the white supremacists, you should hear all the things they've got to say. What a joke. We don't know. It's all speculation. God doesn't tell us. Somehow people know who Cain is. Of course, like I said, it's not like there are 1 billion people and you got to introduce him. Cain is protected by God. That's mercy. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. That's kind of a sad statement. You would have thought that he'd have begged and pleaded and confessed, but no, he's hard-hearted. I know people just like this. You probably do too. You've talked to them and they're not going to repent. I know guys that are in prison that when they come out, they plan to do the same thing that got them in. This time they plan to not get caught. You know, are you sorry? No, I'm sorry I got caught. When I get out, I know how to do it without getting caught because they've been studying while they're in. And you think, there's no heart here. There's no heart of repentance. There's no heart of brokenness. A lot of the guys fake the brokenness, and girls, when it comes to prison, they fake this brokenness. I'm sorry. They're sorry they got caught. And so that's why it's hard to really, you know, if someone comes out and says, I've repented, you want to believe it, but you always want to watch. Well, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, N-O-D. You know what the word Nod means? Wandering. Didn't God say you'd be a vagabond and a wanderer, ceaseless wandering? So he calls the land Nod, the land of wandering. So he probably roamed all over that thing. Dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And verse 17 says this. Cain knew his wife. And you say, here it is. The most asked question of the people that talk, that do the debates on creation or evolution. The most asked question is, where did Cain get his wife? Well, right there near the land of Nod, obviously. Who did he marry? I don't know her name. Doesn't say here. But I know this. According to Genesis chapter 5, Adam and Eve had many, many children for 900 years. So the population grew quickly. And since chapter 3 tells us Eve is the mother of all living, there were none before them. Therefore, Cain had to marry his sister. Remember, number one, it wasn't forbidden. Number two, sin hadn't corrupted all this DNA and the problems. It'll become forbidden when we get all the way up to Moses' day in the law. So I think it's pretty easy. I think Cain married his sister, one of his sisters. She conceived and bare Enoch. Okay. And he built a city. Called the name of the city after the son, or the name of his son, Enoch. And Enoch, unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mehuyael, and Mehuyael begot Methusael, and Methusael begot, Lamech. Enoch, the word means dedicated. They built a city, called it dedicated, called it Enoch. I think people like doing that, don't they? People like naming things after themselves and after their family and after important people. Notice that. Got a school named after a good friend of yours. You got streets named after. I know friends of mine at home, they buy the property all around, and when the county puts a street through, they name it their name. You know, this is Davis Lane or whatever, you know, and you think, people are just that way. So he names the city after his son. And here is where urban life began. Instead of living on the farm like Adam and Eve and Abel used to do, no more of it, now they live in a city, the first city that was built. It was called Dedicated. I wonder what it was dedicated to. I'd say by reading through the rest of the Bible, it's dedicated to make sure that it follows the devil. Dedicated for sure to not listen to God. Well, let's see. Verse 19 says, Lamech, this guy, he took two wives. Oh, Lord. Can you even imagine? The name of one was Ada, the name of the other, Zillah. I'm not going to say it. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all that handle the harp and the organ musicians. Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and 7. What's going on here? Lamech means powerful. And I don't know what possessed this guy, but he decides he wants two wives instead of one. The first time we see polygamy in the scriptures is against what God says in chapter 2, goes completely against it, and he takes two wives instead of one. God says, God brought the woman to the man, said the two should become one flesh, and now they're complete. Not two women and a man, not three guys and one girl, but one man, one woman. Now Lamech takes two wives. That's where polygamy got started. And you see, against what God had said, notice, dedicated to go do their own thing, just whatever they want to do, against what God has said. Look at the way the courts are making determinations, adjudicating these cases. Again, it's almost like they read the Bible and then do exactly opposite of what it says. Have you noticed that? And you're going, I'm amazed. How can you do it? Dedicated to be completely against what God has said, to go against His word. God says the man and the woman shall become one flesh. And so Lamech takes two wives. Now the family produced musical instruments and tools of bronze and iron. What a family. Some people use these scriptures right here in chapter 4 to say that all musical instruments are cursed and of the devil, because Cain's son, one of his sons, invented musical instruments. So they won't allow them in their homes. Some people say it's of the devil. Some churches teach, because of this chapter, it's of the devil. And so they won't allow musical instruments in their worship services. But those same people and those same churches use iron, metal, brass tools and equipment, don't they? Don't you see how people like to pick and choose what they think is good? People are funny. So there they're using their hammer and their nails, and they're using all sorts of other equipment that Cain's family came up with. But they'll say the music instruments. People are funny. If God lived on earth, someone would break his windows. And then Lamech boasts to his wives. He says, in self-defense, I killed the guy today. Yeah, he wounded me, but I got him. I killed a young fella too. Killed him. So I should get better. Now, somebody's going to be upset because he's got family. So they're probably going to come after him. But, you know, if Cain, that murderer, our father, forefather, if he deserved to be protected, then I did it in self-defense. I deserve 70 times that to be protected. What's going on here, guys? Before we quit this and take communion, what on the earth is going on here? What we're seeing is a society develop that has forgotten God. Left him out of everything. Oh, marriage? Yeah, I think I'll marry two or three. I think we'll divorce this one and do that one. We'll divorce this. Well, maybe we'll do this. Let's do this. And it's a society that already this early has left God out of everything. Completely out of everything. Left God out of everyday life. It's an affluent society. Hey, they got musical instruments. They've got some tools they're working with. I mean, these guys, they've got their own city. They built a city. And they're defying God, completely ignoring God, leaving God completely out of their lives and out of the situation. Does that ring a bell? If it doesn't, go home tonight, watch the news. Go home tomorrow and read the newspaper and just look at what our society is doing. Anything it wants. And just completely ignoring God, leaving him out of everything. Nothing that he says matters. His word has become a joke to most people. That's not the word of God. That's it. That's this. It's a joke. Now, meanwhile, back at Adam's house, verse 25 says, Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son, called his name Seth. Seth means appointed or put, or you could even say compensation. Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son, called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain murdered. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called him Enosh. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Adam and Eve had a son. Notice when the son is born, what Eve says. Notice they haven't wandered from God, even though they have sinned and they've been separated. Notice what she says. Even when she had Cain, what did she say? The Lord's given me a man. Here's the promise. Well, he turned out to be a murderer. What did she say now? You know, the Lord has given me another. Of course, she's going to say that a lot, because for hundreds of years, she's going to have lots of kids. Do you hear this? Adam and Eve, even though they have sinned and separated from God, notice they still have hearts for God. Notice that. She says, the Lord has done this. Now notice something else. Enosh. Seth had a son named Enosh. And then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. It literally means this. Men began to proclaim the name of the Lord again. So it's through Seth and his line, not Cain and his, that people are actually proclaiming the name of the Lord on the earth. Proclaiming means in word and in action or in deed. Isn't that amazing? While you've got Cain's group going on, they've just ignored God. They're just doing whatever they can do, figuring out whatever they can figure out, living any old way they choose, setting up their own rules. Hey, if my murdering great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, if that guy deserved to be protected, I did it in self-defense. I deserve 70 times that. Of course, I'm married to two women, and it's a forgotten God. I mean, he's, you know, just ignore everything else, and he thinks that he's got a right. Why? Because he's decided that in his own head. Check around, everybody. See how people are living. Why do you think that's okay to do? Oh, my wife and I decided that that's okay for us. Yeah, but God's words, oh, we don't want to hear it. We've decided it's okay for us. See, let's just do whatever we want and leave God out of it. You're seeing that already in chapter 4. It will grow worse. And so we stop here. And we'll share communion together. Jesus' blood, which speaks a better thing than Abel's does. Jesus shed his blood. He died for the sins of Lamech, for the sins of Cain, for the sins all throughout history, to include yours and mine. Jesus died. He said, you know, when you take communion, every time you do, Jesus says, remember me. Think about what Jesus said. Think about how Jesus lived. Think about what Jesus would really want from every one of us. Jesus says, remember me. Because that's really what it's all about. Let's bow our heads together.